everyone, and thanks for joining us on Books on Demand, a show that introduces the excellence of Korean literature to the world, exploring notable literary works. Today we'll talk about Lee Hyo-seok's City and Ghost. I'm your host, Lena Kwon, and I'll be back shortly. I witnessed a ghost in the civilized city of Seoul. Am I lying? No. I'm not lying, and I wasn't seeing things either. I clearly saw with my own two eyes what people call a ghost. Lee Hyo-seok's City and Ghost was published in 1928. The story begins with a young man's assertion that he had seen a ghost in Seoul. The man is a part-time plasterer working at construction sites. He lives from day to day, but he at least doesn't starve while he has a job. We couldn't have been prouder when we saw the cement we applied forming into hundreds of rooms resembling honeycombs and the sharp sound of my coworkers' chisels into several floors of tall buildings. What stupid idiots we were. He was proud of doing his part in building tall buildings in the city of Seoul, but he was also exhausted by the end of each day. There was nothing like alcohol to relieve the day's fatigue. Alcohol. There was nothing better than alcohol. It was the power of alcohol that made me forget, at least for a moment, about all the troubles that torment me and the indescribable tiredness. The protagonist received his daily pay and drank at a bar with his coworker before going home. What he called home was nothing but a dry patch of ground that he happened to find at a homeless camp. His coworker offered to keep him company, since he didn't want to return to his flea-infested room either. It began to drizzle while they walked toward the gate of Dongmyo Shrine in the eastern part of Seoul, but the area was already packed with other homeless men, leaving the two laborers with no room to lie down in. What are we going to do? Let's go. Let's go where? Inside. Where can we go at this time of the night? All we need is a place to crash. But are you afraid a guard might find us? No problem. We'll just get up early in the morning and get the hell out of here. The protagonist pushed the reluctant coworker inside the shrine.
It became dramatically quieter when they stepped into the midsection. Looking much like a vacant lot left abandoned for many years, the shrine housed a forest of weeds measuring easily over a foot tall, and a ceiling with dull paintwork that looked even more drab at night. On top of that, the rain made all this appear even more somber than usual. The two men crossed the front yard before ducking under the wide eaves to step out of the rain that soaked through their meager clothes. They collapsed to the ground and heaved a big sigh of relief. That was when Mr. Kim let out a startled gasp. "What the heck is that?" I followed his fingertip to see where he was pointing at, only to be startled myself. Suddenly, shivers ran all over my body and my hair stood on their ends. Just a few rooms away, next to the tribute hall across the yard, I saw a couple of flashing lights. The blue lights rolled over on the ground and then jumped into the air. The lights suddenly went out as they flew in the air before appearing and disappearing time and again. Haha, I was fooled by lightning bugs. I picked up a small stone and then threw it toward the fireflies. That was when I was spooked. The fireflies, which should have flown off in separate directions to avoid the stone, stuck to each other and stood still, as if they were glaring at me to see what I was up to. I again held my breath as I peered into the dark. That was when I discovered something even more terrifying. The faint light revealed a pair of shoes and a vague, misty human form. Christ!
After a while, the two men woke up to find themselves sprawled under a willow tree in front of Dongmyo Shrine. The confused men stumbled towards Dongdaemun Gate. They fell to the ground with a thud once they reached the Dongdaemun Wall. Who the heck are you two? Hey, watch where you're sitting. What is this place? Wasn't the Seoul, or was it a place for ghouls? The city where he had worked for years suddenly appeared unfamiliar and frightening to the narrator. Here's literary critic Chun So-young to explain what kind of place Seoul was in the 1920s.
Seoul, called Gyeongsang on the Japanese colonial rule, underwent industrialization in full in the 1920s. The Japanese colonial government developed the area south of the Cheonggyecheon River that flowed through the capital because most of the Japanese lived in that area. The Japanese community there housed a department store, several fancy shops, and many thriving businesses, while the area north of the Cheonggyecheon River, where Dongmyo Shrine and many other Joseon-era historical landmarks and palaces were located, were excluded from modernization. These Korean-occupied neighborhoods gradually turned into slums. Seoul or Gyeongsang at the time was a two-faced city where such blatant discrimination took place.
당시 경성은 이렇게 차별이 존재하는 이중 도시였습니다.
The two men had to stay the night in Mr. Kim's cramped room outside the city gate. I was frightened by a goblin or a ghost twice in one night. It took several years off my life, I bet. But who can I blame? Should I blame myself for drinking late into the night, or my miserable fate for leaving me homeless? Or blame that ghost or something else? I realized that I should find something to pin the blame on. The protagonist couldn't understand what he had seen the previous night. He couldn't believe he had actually seen a goblin. He told his co-workers about the strange lights and the ghostly form he had seen in the shrine. What? A goblin? You sure you saw a goblin? Everyone was shocked to hear how the two men had seen a goblin in Dongmyo Shrine except for Mr. Park. I bet nobody has seen more goblins than me.
There's a vacant house right next to ours. I moved into my house not that long ago, so I don't know what the story is about that old house. But it stands empty with the walls all crumbled down and the doors all missing. Then, he went on in a more excited tone. I was taking a stroll in the neighborhood after a dinner one day. That was when I saw lights turning on one by one in that empty house. Just like you said, the lights came on and off as if they were looking for something. More amazingly, even more lights appeared. And then there were sounds too, some kind of chatter. From one side I heard the sound of something clattering, like coins. And the sound from the other side was like slurping or something. That's not all. On other days, I heard something breaking inside, as if a brawl was taking place, and then some cussing and laughing, too. I heard some strange sounds coming from that place at night. Is that true? Of course it is, but don't be fooled. Those goblins don't stay in one place. Go to Dongmyo or Jeongmyo shrines at night, and you'll see lots of them.
Mr. Park's outrageous tale about goblins made the protagonist more curious about what he saw the night before. Unable to resist the temptation any longer, he went back to Dongmyo that very night. He even brought along a big club in case he had to defend himself.
As the dusk settled, the drab Dongmyo shrine grew even more dreary. I took a few steps past the middle gate and toward the main hall. Right at the spot where I had seen the mysterious lights, I saw two disheveled shadows. But I was no longer the foolish coward I was the night before. Well, you little goblin. I raised my club high, and with a heart as brave as that of a military commander, I ran to the spot. One! The
The club I wielded with all my might fell helpless from my hands. The general had transformed into a crazy clown in a flash, because the goblins had turned into a pair of beggars, a mother and son. How preposterous can this be? This must be what they call a goblin trick. The two beggars, who had no idea what I was talking about, were down on their knees and pleading with me. Oh, sir, please spare us. We'll leave here if you tell us to, but don't kill this poor crippled woman. I know we shouldn't dare come here, but... The woman sobbed and apologized, while trying in vain to get up on her feet. Her child was hanging onto his jacket. No, you don't have to get up. Didn't you see something come out of here last night? No, there was nobody here but me and my child. Then what were those lights? I'm telling you, there was nothing here except for us. My legs hurt so much that I tried to put on some ointment. The only thing I did was use up a whole packet of matchsticks to look for that darn thing.
The woman's leg was in terrible shape. The ankle was broken and the calf was so thin that it resembled a dry tree branch. The gaping wound appeared to have developed gangrene. That damn car! That made me a cripple so I can't even make a living now. A car? Yes, I got hit by a car in front of the park. The protagonist suddenly remembered something. He was walking aimlessly late one night when he witnessed something.
It was a beautiful summer night, so I didn't dare to stop and see what the crowd of people were gawking at and murmuring about on the street in the front of the park. I thought it must be a drunken reveler or a street violinist playing for the night market. I meant to pass by them casually. But the way people were whispering sounded different from that for a drunk or a musician. What could it be? My feet unconsciously took me there. I saw something horrific through people's shoulders. I saw a car half hidden by the crowd of people and a woman crushed underneath it. Blood was seeping out from under the wheels and a beggar child was next to her on the ground wailing. Inside the car were packed with, of all people, thugs and their geese and girlfriends.
Those awful people.
They must have been speeding. How horrible. Some people spat out such reprimands as they pushed me out of their way.
The car accident was what turned the mother and child into the ghosts of Dongmyo. Here's Seoul National University's Korean literature professor Bang Min-ho's explanation about the car accident and the thugs.
이 작가는 당시의 경성, 서울이라고 하는 세계 속에서
The writer wanted to portray how the poor people lived in the city of Gyeongsang in the early 20th century and used a ghost to symbolize the city life. How did the mother and child end up in Dongmyo like a pair of ghosts? How did she end up so badly wounded? She was in a car accident. In the story, the car and the thugs represent the modernization of Seoul and the emergence of a new class of wealth. The woman who got hit by that car symbolizes the gap between the rich and the poor, the unfortunate loser of the urban contradiction.
바로 그것이 자동차라는 것, 자동차 사고로 표현되고 있다고 말할 수 있습니다.
The narrator realizes that the woman was a victim of the car accident he had witnessed. She got herself discharged from the hospital prematurely because she had to take care of her child. Instead of probing into her obvious misfortune, the protagonist gave her every penny he had in his pocket and left the shrine promptly. Readers, now you know the identity of the ghosts. In fact, I myself came to understand clearly the meaning of Mr. Park's pointed comments and smirks without ever visiting Dongdaemun or Dongmyo or Jongmyo or the vacant house Mr. Park had mentioned. Here's literary critic Chun So-young to explain what the main character came to realize from the incident.
주인공은 미장이어서 도시의 건축 사업에 종사를 하고 있는데
The protagonist is a plasterer who works in the city's building projects. But ironically, he doesn't even have a room of his own. But realizing that sad irony of this situation, he just lived his life doing whatever he was told without complaining. He even thought that he should get rid of the ghosts as a civilized member of the city. But once he realized what the ghosts really were, he understood what Mr. Park was saying, that there were many goblins and ghosts at Dongmyo or Chungmyo. Those ghosts were actually impoverished Koreans deprived of the benefits of colonial capitalism. In fact, the protagonist himself belonged to the group of goblins and ghosts.
가난한 조선인이었던 것이죠. 그리고 주인공도 사실은 도깨비였고요.
Under dim evening light, on a mountain road with nary a soul in sight for miles on end, next to a tomb where a skull devoured empty by a fox rolls, or in a derelict water mill ready to collapse, or on the shores of an eerie swamp hundreds of years old. Such were the places where ghosts were thought to frequent. But ghosts appeared boldly in the civilized city of Seoul, and the number of them grew in proportion to the city's growth and prosperity. What a cruel situation! And how an illogical and magical affair is that? It's ridiculous and awful. Without saying, such illogical ghosts should never be allowed to exist. Then, what can be done to stop these ghosts from multiplying, or better yet, stop them from being created in the first place? Oh, wise readers! What are you waiting for? This important and great problem is waiting for your self-awareness, wisdom, and power.
주인공은 조선인 노동자입니다.
The main character is a Korean laborer. He was used to following the rules of colonial Gyeongseong. He worked like a machine, and his freedom was restricted, but he wasn't aware of it. Rather, he was proud to be a part of building a great city. As he wandered around the city, however, he began to see the contradictions in his life. Workers like him were the pillars that supported the capitalism of Gyeongseong. But they were chased out to the city's outskirts to live pitiful existence. Lee Ho-seok showed how the story's protagonist, a member of the urban poor, came to have a different mindset, and at the end spoke through the main character to urge the readers to think about fixing the society's problems.
That's all we have for this week's edition of Books on Demand. We'll be back next week with another notable Korean literary work for you to enjoy and ponder over. I've been your host, Lena Kwon. Thanks for listening.